The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Whichever way you're taking a sim, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morrow.
Good morrow.
I am doing very well. You know why? Because it's a football Friday.
Yeah.
Usually it's Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob to close out the show. We've, again, given Felica the day off since he's been on 47 times.
He really hasn't worked much in the past week. I think he had a long layover between, what was that, New Year's Eve, right? And then yesterday. I don't know.
So we will have Fezzik on for a couple segments. Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day, to talk wild card weekend with us. Bob will reiterate. He will remind us of his thoughts on tonight's game. I don't think he has a play on the Texas-Ohio State game, but he will talk about how he feels about it. He does have a wild card weekend play for us.
Ooh, let's go.
And again, just to pull back the curtain, you know how that conversation goes? It's like, hey, Bob, you want to come on and give us a wild card weekend pick? And he goes, no, Gil, my clients get really mad when I give it out on your show. And I go, well, yeah, clients probably say that, Bob, but how many of those guys know about you from the show? He goes, you're right, I'm on. That's how that goes. So Bob's
it's a lot of convincing.
Australian Open, I added a quarter or two, which we'll get into. By the way, Zach Cohen and I, after this show, I'm going to do the post-draw pod. Post-draw beating the book pod with Zach Cohen. We'll then pair that with the pre-draw thoughts from Drew Dinsick, and we'll get into that on the podcast side. But I will share a quarter or two that I made, quarter or two bet that I made. This hour, Pete Futak on college football, the Power 5, now Power 4 snobbery that is Pete Futak, self-proclaimed. And Jason Weingarten, who provided us with many a laugh yesterday when we went through our votes for all of our the NFL awards yesterday. He went Lamar, MVP and Offensive Player of the Year.
Who do you think has more explaining to do, Jason or Steve Fezzik?
Steve Fezzik, clearly.
Me too. Somehow it's not nearly as egregious to me that he went MVP and Offensive Player of the Year, the same player.
Cleve already chimed in. He's like, I'd like to vote next year instead of Fezzik. You're in.
Well again, bring it back to the Will Hill text messages. If I'm the chairman, if I'm the AP chairman or however this works, that gets to decide what happens with people, whether they followed the comeback player of the year guidelines or not.
Yeah.
I'd be saying, thank you for participating. You didn't follow the guidelines. You will not be participating next year.
Yeah. The reason.
So there might be a spot open for Cleve.
The reason that we're saying this about Fezzik is because he voted Aiden Hutchinson as defensive player of the year. And Aiden Hutchinson obviously hasn't played in a while. NFL bets, we will we'll repeat those. Are we sure? The segment of our Friday segment. Are we sure? Are we sure? Estamos seguros about certain things in the National Football League. Kelly will list some questions. I want to start first, though, obviously. We'll get to college football. We'll get to the game last night here momentarily. But there's a lot to talk about, obviously. In case you missed it, the Rams and the Vikings, the venue change has happened. First of all, they canceled. We suspected this would happen because Zach had a bet on the Hornets game. Hornets Lakers yesterday, and we're like, why haven't they canceled this yet? They did after the show, a couple hours after the show, and then moments after that, not moments, but like within an hour after that.
Too close.
Yeah, they moved the Vikings-Rams game to Glendale, Arizona, as was suspected. The contingency plan is in effect for safety purposes. Again, this because of the wildfires in Southern California that have, and this is not mere words. I have to say, you know, we often, when something like this comes up, we sort of say our thoughts and our prayers and that kind of thing. You know, my brother has a dear friend, his house burned to the ground.
It's insane out there.
It is so heartbreaking for these folks who have like lived in their homes for, you know, 4 or 5 decades. In some cases, they raised their families there. All their memories are there. And in one moment's time, gone. So really everything we talk about here on the show, please know that we know it's proper context in the real world, but because we do talk gambling, it's pretty fascinating because can we throw up the Matt Brown, tweet here?
Yep.
Matt Brown, our own Matt Brown at VSiN, was the first to really spell this out for folks. Good job by Maddie, who puts out Vikings Rams venue change house rules. If you bet it at DraftKings, if you bet it at FanDuel, Circa, Bet365, ESPN, Better Fanatics, those bets are still action. Those stand. At BetMGM and Caesars, the bet voided. So you got to know the house rules. By the way, this is not a global pandemic where a book treats some futures one way arbitrarily and others the other, and then they act like your bet isn't a future, and then they misapply it, or at worst, or at best, it's just sort of vague rules, and then a kangaroo court upholds them, and then they tell lies about you. This isn't that. This is a very straightforward.
That sounds like a specific story.
I'm just giving
it. Sounds like a very specific example.
Just giving a hypothetical. This is actually just a football game that gets moved and is delayed by a couple of days. So just know those rules. But what it does create from a betting standpoint is, so for those of us who have, say, Rams plus 2.5 or Rams plus 3,
mm-hmm.
and we had all this great CLV, right? Poof, that's gone. For those of us who have these bets standing, because mine is offshore, the bet is still action. So too bad for me. On the other hand, if you were smart enough, let's say you had the Vikings money line when it got down to like a pick'em or close to a pick'em. Now you can just sort of name your price, right? Because mm-hmm. now it's Vikings minus 2.5. Maybe it even rises higher. The line move from venue change, which, by the way, I must say, if there was ever a team or teams, when you talk about with the Rams and the Chargers, that really don't have a home field advantage, it's them. So to me, it's a bit of an overreaction by the market. But anyway, doesn't matter.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was my initial reaction, too. I was like, we're really moving this like 2.5 points when all we talk about all year is how that stadium has no home field advantage.
Right. But those are just opinions. It doesn't matter for the people who have, let's say, Vikings money line at like -110 or -115, whatever they got it at. This is fantastic for them. Right. Because they mm-hmm. can just hang out, wait, let's say the Rams are, what are the Rams now, plus 130-ish now, I think they are on the money, plus 124, we're showing, but I say plus 130. But let's say, we'll do simple math on it. You know, let's say you had, it was 115 to win 100 on the Vikings. Now you could just play back the Rams 100 to win 124, or even if it goes higher. And so it's just it's a great situation if you were able to anticipate and go to the books where you knew it was going to stand. Right. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. If you got ahead of that. So, again, knowing the seriousness of the nature of things, but gamblers are gamblers. And if you're a sharp bettor, sniff out things like this. And that's so we'll talk about that with Steve Fezzik coming up on the show as well. So
the other one I just want to add on there. I know MGM and Caesars were on Matt Brown's list. I think it also depends what kind of bets you have. There, I have a teaser, for example, at Caesars that's still open that was involving one of those teams. So some, like, if you're playing teasers or parlays or stuff like that, it might be treated differently. I will applaud Caesars, though, because they send an email out on it. Like, I got an email last night explaining, hey, this is how everything was going to be handled. A lot of times, how often do we sit here and say, we already did it once. Check your house rules if you've got a bet, right? It's really nice when the house just sends you an email updating you the status of the bet when it's a wide sweeping game like this that's going to affect so many people.
I want to applaud Caesars for not spinning on me last night when I made a quarter bet in the Australian Open, which is a touch and go these days.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to them. Okay, this game last night, Notre Dame goes to the national championship game. The Irish in what was really four games in one, right? Penn State goes up 10-0. Then the Irish take a 17-10 lead. Then Penn State comes back, takes a 24-17 lead, and then Notre Dame wins it 27-24. But really, to me, maybe the key to all of this, well, one of the keys, it'll get glossed over, but when Penn State is matriculating for what ended up being Ryan Barker 20-yard field goal to put them up 3-0, that third and goal at the 3, when Drew Aller throws it low to Singleton, who could have waltzed into the end zone, those were 4 points right there they left on the board. And that's a massive play in this ball game that might get glossed over. Obviously, the biggest play ends up being in the end in a tie ball game where Penn State gets the ball back at their own 15-yard line with 47 seconds left. That after James Franklin just let 10 seconds go off the clock for no reason mm-hmm. before he used his first timeout before the punt, which is just like, what are you doing, man? Wake up. Aller, first and 10 at their own 28. Second play in, throws it late over the middle, picked by Christian Gray, sets up Notre Dame at the Penn State 42 with 33 seconds left. You know how it ends. Jeter, 41-yard field goal to win it for the Irish. And by the way, did you see that alignment on that field goal? Have you seen the photos of this? Notre Dame's got all their guys in the box ready to block, and Penn State has like two fewer guys trying to block the kick.
Really?
It's just so bad.
On the game winner?
Yes, so bad. Anyway, so congratulations to those who had Notre Dame in the end. I think Penn State, my God, if you had Penn State, you got to feel terrible about this. Like, how did this slip out? And if you had the under, which most of our guys did anecdotally.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It was 10-10 after the third quarter. And it soars over the number, soars over 27-24. Tonight, Texas-Ohio State. I just want to say real brief. We'll get Futak and Dr. Bob to talk about Texas-Ohio State tonight. But Ohio State is a six-point favorite. This sort of just is a quintessential case study in betting of, do you go with what you've seen recently, like Ohio State's dominance here in the first two games of the playoff, where they've outscored Tennessee and Oregon by a combined 83-38. And do you go with that, the eye test, or do you have a broader sense of, well, wait a minute, this feels like a big adjustment to a line that wouldn't have been this had Ohio State not been quite as dominant here recently? And the advanced analytics sort of buttressing of this is, and I want to give Colin Wilson over at Action Network some credit for this, but Quinn Ewers, who a lot of us say, oh, can we trust Quinn Ewers? Well, he has seen a blitz on 28% of his snaps this season, producing a moderate 50% success rate. But his ability to detect the blitz and fill the gap generates a big play rate of 22.4% with 12 touchdowns to just four picks. Ohio State plays a heavy amount of cover one, and Ewers has a high 57% success rate against cover one. Explosive plays, a monster 23% of those attempts on cover one. So there is... Again, there's advanced analytics that support Texas and just the market over-adjusting. So that's the debate you have to have internally about this game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Well, okay, that's maybe the wrong read. Let's talk about VSiN.com/subscribe. Sure, why don't we do that? Here's the deal. Now on VSiN.com, Saturday NFL wildcard games preview, Greg Peterson's college basketball best bets, Sunday NFL wildcard games preview, it's all there. And don't forget today, wildcard weekend, first touchdown score pick, Zach Cohen's NBA best bets, Vikings-Ram preview, it's all there, VSiN.com. And remember, you can save $59. Our big game 59. Save $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game, folks.
At VSiN.com/subscribe. Check it out.
I got to stop saying that. Just as an A numbers game, not as an A numbers game, folks, because then the promo code would add an F.
That's true.
End,
you know? People are going to put an F in there at the end.
Sorry, guys. Bill me.
One job. Hey, I want to say thank you to Jim Feist. Do you know Jim Feist?
No,
I don't. Jim Feist, legendary handicapper Jim Feist. First of all, DeMarco's Pizza, they do this thing every... They were doing it on Mondays, and they switched it to Thursdays. DeMarco's Pizza out there in Summerlin. I think a lot of VSiN folks have been on this show. Crack got me involved in it, but Albert Scalia, who runs the show over there, but it's the Jim Feist handicapping show. They had me on yesterday. It was me. It was Jim Feist. It was Todd Dewey from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Tom was the host, and it was awesome, and I just appreciate them having me. And it was nice to meet Jim Feist for the first time.
Good time.
It was great. It was from noon to one. I didn't have any pizza, but they had pizza afterwards. But it was great. It was fun. We just talked about football and handicapping. Took questions from folks.
Why didn't you have any pizza?
Oh, because I had to bounce.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I would have stayed.
I was gonna say, you got something against pizza these days?
Oh, are you kidding me?
I was about to be surprised.
Who doesn't love pizza? What are you talking about?
Am I talking to Matt Brown?
By the way, we have to just acknowledge this.
The
what
elf
is this?
In the room? This is Sam Ginsberg.
Yeah.
One of our favorite listeners. Sent me a package the other day. I had Wyatt open it because, you know, just in case. it was from Sam. I didn't realize it was from Sam. Nice note from Sam. Sam, thank you very much. He sent me a U.S. Open shirt. I think he had sent you some a couple
he
weeks before.
He sent me multiple gifts, and I'm so appreciative.
And then included
yes.
in this was the Yinzer elf on the shelf. So I'll be honest. It looks a lot like Todd to me, Gil. I know it's kind of tough for us to get a real close, real tight shot of that.
Wishnelf
right
on
Wishnelf.
The shelf.
There you go. Wishnelf on the shelf.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sam, thank you. I don't know where we're gonna put this. It kind of creeps me out. Might just have it follow around the crew in the back for a while. But thank you, Sam, as always, and to all the great listeners.
Sam, you're the best. Appreciate it. Very kind. Yeah, he sent me multiple Redskin stuff and some other stuff as well. So it's awesome. Really appreciate it. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Cleve T.A., who was kind enough to be on the Megapod this week, talking Wildcard Weekend with us, talking about Fezzik yesterday, goes, "Hi, I would have loved my votes to be part of this. Definitely beats Fezzik not even answering a question, putting Hutchinson as defensive player of the year."
It is.
LOL.
So you know what? One of the biggest takeaways I didn't bring up yesterday of doing this exercise, it was, for as much as we sit here and say, this should be this or this should be that.
Yeah.
When you pull a bunch of bettors even, I understand the struggle that every voter has to go through, because every one of us had at least one or two. We didn't even want to send a name in for, because the races are so tight. And yeah. Yes, a couple guys just didn't send stuff.
Right. But you should, and you should know who's playing and who's hasn't been playing for a while.
Okay. Steve gave me something to put on there if I wanted to, but I thought it was better just to leave it blank, because he was like, just put the betting favorite.
No, this is Kevin Clone Bone. He said, "I had a question on tipping based on yesterday's conversation. You said with Crack, you said you tip really well at restaurants. What percentage is that? I feel like I do too, but I'm also cheap. So I wanted to see what the gap might be, if any. I think it's all perspective in the end." Oh, that could be. What are my tipping sort of truisms? It's never less than 20%. I don't remember the last time in life I gave less than 20, because you'd have to have done something really wrong to me to make it less than 20. But generally speaking, and especially when it's places that I frequent, it's oftentimes 25% and oftentimes a little more than that, just for rounding purposes. So that's just kind of how I do it at restaurants. So,
I am never consistent with this, by the way. If we're talking restaurants, casino stuff's a completely different story. Restaurants, sorry, I judge the service big time. So it is, if it is bad service, I might go down to 15. But like service, Gil, I way over tip for.
Even if it's bad service, something troubles me. Well, you know, here's the thing. I'm nicer than the person I'm with sometimes, who's like, "No, give them less." And I'm like, "No, I'm not going to do that."
I feel like I do run into that more. I'm never that guy, Gil. Don't worry. I'm never that guy.
I feel like I'm subjected to that. C. Spackler, was that PI called last night legit? I think it was, but the X universe disagrees. Are we talking about the PI on Shuler for Notre Dame when Aller sort of threw it up in coverage in the corner of the end zone? He got bailed out.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the thing. It's funny, because this is an interesting question, because on our text group with Fezzik and Felica, Will and Todd, I said he got bailed out. But what I meant by that was that it wasn't a bad call. I think it was the correct call. But I do think Aller was bailed out because he just got lucky. What was he doing throwing that pass? So I think both things are true. I think it was a legitimate call and it was a stupid pass where he legit got bailed out on it. This is from, I don't want to read that one right now. Let's see. and on and on. We'll get to more tweets when I have a chance to actually not Ron Burgundy through them. Okay, which brings us to, are we sure? Are we sure? Estamos seguros in the National Football League. Wild Card Edition with Kelly Midland.
All right. Are we sure?
Yes.
The Chargers are good enough to be laying 3 on the road against anybody in the playoffs.
No, we're not. That's why I bet the Texans +3. I've been citing this stat all week, so forgive me if I'm saying it for the 10th time for your ears, but the Chargers have the lowest strength of victory amongst all 14 playoff teams. So not strength of schedule. Washington has the easiest strength of schedule, but strength of victory, meaning the aggregate win percentage of the teams they beat this year, comes to 348. That's the equivalent of you having beaten virtually nobody. Like, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that you pose, are we sure that they should be a 3-point favorite against anybody, is no. Absolutely not. Now, does that mean the Chargers can't win the game? Of course not. Doesn't mean that. Anything can happen in one game. But I do wonder, if the Texans get ahead in this game, how do the Chargers behave in that way? So while you're not bullying bad teams, let's say the Texans actually come out with a strong start, then I want to see what the Chargers' mettle is at that point. And so, no, I am not sure they should be a 3-point
favorite.
Yeah, me
neither. I don't have a bet on the side of that game, but if I did, it would definitely be taking 3 with the Texans. Okay, are we sure the Chiefs are the team to beat in the AFC?
Well, no, because I have the Ravens rated one, and, you know, Aaron Schatz, forget me, Aaron Schatz has him as the seventh greatest team of all time being since 1979. But I feel like because it's Patrick Mahomes and they've won back-to-back Super Bowls and they're going for the historic three-peat, what was the question? Are we sure that they're not the team to beat?
The Chiefs are the team to beat.
I can't really say that I'm not definitively, right? Because he can, because Patrick Mahomes can just put on his cape and beat anybody. We've seen it. We saw it last year.
I like when I specifically ask like the open-ended questions. Yes. Like there's not like a specific question to that, right? Should they be the betting favorite? Are they going to make it to the Super Bowl?
Wait, so ask the question again as you worded it.
Are we sure the Chiefs are the team to beat in the AFC, Gil, like they have been for so many years?
We're kind of sure, but not 100%. But I understand those
kinda,
that would think
kinda
they are.
I'm kind of still there. Yeah, I'm kind of still there. Because like, as much as we might like the Bills and Ravens, look, they still got to win, beat each other first, and then likely face the Chiefs. So. Yeah. Okay, are we sure on yesterday's show our group was a good representation of how NFL awards would play out?
This may surprise you. I feel kind of sure about it.
Yeah.
I know it's only nine people, nine votes, but I kind of feel like a lot of those are going to end up representative. Maybe not all categories.
I agree. I mean, there were several I was surprised by, but I think the more I thought about it, I was like, I just think this is probably how it's going to end up playing out.
Sam Darnold winning comeback player of the year might have been a little trolling of you. So maybe not that one. Maybe, maybe not.
You mean someone submitting one that was Samuel Richard That's Darnold right. Might be specifically going after me? Yeah.
That's right. But I kind of feel like Lamar might clip Josh Allen 5-4 like we had it. Like all a right. Supreme Court thing.
All right, I'm going to jump ahead because I made a graphic for one of these, and I'm going off the NFL. Are we sure Joe Cirillo and Taylor Fritz aren't brothers?
I was the one who first asked him
this. I know. Brendan, there it is right there. Are we sure those two are not related?
Look at that Cirillo picture. That's awesome. That's the first thing I said to Joe. I go, who do people say you look like? He goes, I don't know who. I go, Taylor Fritz. Yeah, that's who you look like.
And now we're back in tennis season, and I'm just like, Taylor Fritz, Joe Cirillo. There he is right there. Okay, I got another one. This is a little
off. See, this is why you here's your wording. Are we sure they aren't brothers? It's like a word salad. Everything's like a word puzzle with Gil. Are we sure they aren't? Which means.
All right.
Yeah.
I got another one for you. Are we sure soup is a meal?
Oh, no. It's the old Jay Leno joke. You know his whole joke? No. He's like he hates soup because it cheats him out of a meal.
I completely agree. I completely agree. I did not know that was a Leno thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a Leno thing. Yeah.
There's no soup. Like, soup is it's fun to taste a couple times.
He says it up here, but he says that. If you understand it.
Where's the spoon? Uh-huh.
Taste the soup. Taste the soup. Dacha. Dacha. Coming to America. It's awesome. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game at Visa.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know what I was saying earlier, Kelly? In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horwitz, a former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSiN today. Use promo code VSiN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy and gain the edge in your trading game. That's BubbaTrading.com/VSiN, promo code VSiN500. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. We have tons of tweets today. Colin Murphy, when introducing Fezzik on the intro, please now introduce him as the only two-time winner of the Hilton contest and voter of Aiden Hutchinson for Defensive Player of the Year. Absolutely will. There's no question. C. Spackler says, bingo on matriculating. Apparently I said matriculating earlier. Joe C. saying I guess it was, who was the young lady who was interviewing Marcus Freeman after the game yesterday? But she pointed out that he was first black coach in the championship. And Josie points out, well, he's Korean, too. And Marcus Freeman, he says, gave a perfect response to that question. Didn't want to take attention away from the team, but was honored by the comment there. Jamie Leva, do you think the movement has anything to do? Oh, the movement in the Rams Vikings. I wanted to bring this up. He says, do you think the line movement has anything to do with the emotional status of Rams players / personnel? Have a great day, gentlemen. I think this is a fantastic point. The Rams and the Chargers both. This is one of those things where, you know, we talk about all kinds of angles. We give a stat here and a stat there. Stats are great. They're awesome. You know how much I think if you're not doing things from a numbers-based standpoint, you're probably not doing it right. But I'm the first person to acknowledge that if there is a mitigating factor, just we just talked about it with, hey, look, if you could get ahead of it at a sports book that this venue was going to change, you could earn. Mitigating factors erase all of that other stuff sometimes. And that's absolutely true in sports betting. This is a very valid comment.
Yes.
The emotional status of the Rams players, and I would add the Chargers players, who I get it, they're in Houston. But, you know, they got families back home. It's a big deal. Like betting on the Rams, which, again, I bet before all of this, and the Chargers, you have to think twice about it. You do.
You really do. I think the way I always approach this stuff, Gil, is it's impossible for me to quantify, but I don't believe for a second that it doesn't affect the bulk of these players on these teams. Whether it's your house, your family, all this stuff that you're thinking about going on back home, it's impossible for it not to be a distraction.
Hoops by Hoots. Gil, I'm 32 and been a diehard Notre Dame fan my whole life. Last night took 10 years off my life. The next 10 days are going to be the longest wait ever. A moment in the game I think that's going to be overlooked is backup. Yes, Angeli leading the field goal drive right before halftime. Yeah, Riley Leonard was knocked out of the game. The officials were like, hey, you need to take a break. You're glazed over in the eyes. And so Steve Angeli came in and led them to a field goal at the end of the first half, which was part of the first part of a double dip, which ended up getting a touchdown to begin the second half. So, yes, that field goal ends up being monster for sure. Blue Henbill, talking about different sportsbooks handling it differently, says on Bet Online, straight bets stay action. Teasers and parlay stay action, but the affected game is canceled. Example, a three-team teaser becomes a two-team teaser. How many points do you feel the distraction factor is for the Rams? Oh, he brought it up as well. There's no way to quantify it. There really isn't. But it's a consideration for sure. Dell Mind the Gap Radio. I feel old when KB, that's you, Kelly, doesn't know who Jim Feist is. By the way, Jim Feist loves you, and you know what he loves when I say producer number 9 so much more than a producer. He loves that.
Now I feel like a jerk. Sorry.
No, that's
And thanks, Jim, for the compliment. I appreciate it.
And Buddhist Man says, I did not have Kelly pulling a Frank Rosenthal by having someone else opening up his mail on my ANGF, a numbers games folks bingo card today.
Yeah. Well, like, when you worked at like local radio, was that a thing?
What?
Were you post 9/11 still working at like radio?
Yes.
And that was local news stations, man. When we got mail or anything, opened that at the front desk, and you'd always go and get your mail. You're like, who opened up all my mail?
Well, he's referencing the Chrissy by Mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, the old Lefty Rosenthal story where some guy, underling was like, I love Mr. Rosenthal. He gives me $100 every day to just start his car. That's great. Jason Weingarten is here, ladies and gentlemen, the author of the famous Lamar MVP Offensive Player of the Year, Kiniella, if you will, on our awards show yesterday. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. You were mentioning the whole thing with the Rams and the Chargers, and I think you brought up some interesting points. I think as of yesterday, the game might have stayed in L.A., but the last fire that started, it started in the West Valley, was going towards Oak Park, which is near where a lot of Rams players and coaches and a lot of, you know, executives, everybody has houses out there. I think it just ended up becoming, or realizing that the next couple days would become a huge distraction, practicing around L.A. and the wildfires, you know, having to have the 100-plus fire department and police people they have at SoFi on game day doing traffic and running around the stadium. You know, they have EMTs and all the people who could be better suited elsewhere right now in L.A. So I realized they had to move the game out of L.A., but I absolutely do agree with you that it's, you know, being away from your family this weekend is probably a massive distraction as much as it is, you know, a benefit being away. So kind of bums me out where, you know, there's obviously more important things than losing a home playoff game. But, you know, you really lose the home field advantage here. It really turned it from I love the Rams this weekend to I'm not dying to jump into the spot now.
It's and I had mentioned earlier, my brother has a dear friend whose house burned down to the ground. I was taking Gracie, Kelly. I was taking Gracie to visit colleges in May. We went to USC. We went to Pepperdine. On the way back from Pepperdine, we stopped in the Palisades and bought something at that high-end marketplace, Erewhon, in the middle of that Palisades market. It was a sunny day, bustling with people. You could barely move. It's halfway burned to the ground, the whole place. Like, it's impossible to wrap your brain around. It's like I was just there, and now it's gone. It's incredible. So And by the way, I think, and I don't know if they were affected, but we've talked about this before, because when I would go off on Puka Nacua being phased out of game plans his rookie year, remember, I was like, oh, what's McVay doing? He wants to feed Cup all the time. Stafford, McVay, and Cup all live in the same cul-de-sac-y area, I believe. And I don't think they were affected, but it just gives you a personal sense of, you know, these are real people who have real lives in real neighborhoods. And this is, it's just, you can't fathom how this could possibly affect them.
Yeah, it was a mess yesterday. I was glad they got that one under control.
Yeah. What bets do you have then for Wild Card Weekend? What's in pocket?
I'm still on the Packers as we're doing this. It's Friday morning. It's about, you know, 7:30, 7:40 in L.A. Jalen Hurts has still not been cleared. Like, they're saying he's going to be cleared, and it's probably going to be cleared. He hasn't yet. I'm just pointing that out, that got no practice time with A.J. Brown this week, who's also injured. If there was ever a spot, take the Packers, even up to +5 here, I think. Five money line parlayed towards the under. I like both, all three of those, actually.
Okay. Anything on Ohio State, Texas tonight?
Bet a little bit on Ohio State. Most of my money on the money line, a little bit on the spread. I think they blow them out. Wouldn't surprise me. I think, like I said, watching Ohio State in person kind of sold me that they're the best team in this bracket. Was impressed with the game last night. That was a nice change of pace for a Thursday night football game.
It was. It's beginning the Super, and it's not called Super anymore, but beginning the whole wild card weekend with two national semifinals Thursday and Friday night is awesome. You agree with me about tonight's game, though, because this is how I set it up earlier, which is, it really is the perfect case study of betting of, okay, Ohio State could not have looked better. They just destroyed previously unbeaten Oregon. You were there. You were right there on the sideline. So you're up close and personal with it. And it's hard not to get mesmerized by that. But if you pull away from it, right? So it's that versus, and by the way, I'm not invalidating it. They are awesome. And it takes a lot to get in front of that. On the other hand, there is this notion, right? Like, they were favored by 7 against Tennessee like a minute ago at home. Now they're 6-point favorites at Dallas against the Longhorns. So that recent, you know, display, and by the way, specifically, like, Will Howard all of a sudden is like awesome, right? That recent display has moved that line. And Texas, on the other hand, probably shouldn't have beaten ASU, right? They had to get the 4th-and-13 converted to win that. So you agree that that's kind of the handicapping debate in one's head? That ought to be it.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing for me is Steve Sarkisian. He's just kind of not a coach I have much respect for. So at the end of the day, you know, I always think he's going to come up short in big games. It's just, you know, he's that kind of guy. So I'm on Ohio State here. Not a huge bet. I know we're almost out of time, but we haven't talked about it much. And I know it's the off season, but my baseball chats every day are basically all about Sasaki constantly. Where is he going to sign? When's he going to sign? Is he going to sign with the Dodgers? Is the world going to end if he signs with the Dodgers? I think he's going to sign with the Dodgers, but I'm actually sort of worried. I wonder if this fire changes anything. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I'm interested. You guys think he signs with the Dodgers?
It's a fascinating point. You know, when Ohtani was supposedly going around checking out, I always said to my buddies in San Francisco, I'm like, you know, you better take him down the right streets. I used to say that. And I love San Francisco. I'm a San Francisco guy. That stuff's interesting. Jason, good luck with all the bets, man.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. I'll see you guys next week.
My man. Pete Futak on College Football next.
VSIN, the sports betting network.
VSIN fans, you're in luck. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens is offering you 15% off at three incredible properties. Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel in Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSIN15. Book your 2025 stay now at CircaLasVegas.com and use VSIN15 to get 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Jay Forey. FanDuel has every team in wildcard weekend to score a rushing touchdown at 200-1. Is this like some of those Super Bowl props that sound more likely than they are? For example, field goals by both teams in each half. FanDuel has each team to score a touchdown at minus 140, ESPN at minus 110. Gave it a sprinkle. There you go. Yes, to answer your question, is this is this like some of those Super Bowl props that sound more likely than they are? Yes, is the answer. Judd O'Connor, I agree with the flat 20% on tips. Only time I don't, at the stadiums. I'm already spending $50 on three beers. You don't need an extra 10 to pop the tab. Here in Minnesota, most workers are volunteers anyway. This is from Sam Ginsburg. Thanks for the nice on-air thanks. Hopefully you've pushed the hand of the elf so you can hear the four or five Yinzer messages, it says.
Oh my God, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know.
He didn't even know. That's so great. He gave me a whole thing, which we same sort of thing. Yeah, you got to push the hand.
I feel like there's usually they usually tells you that somewhere on there.
Sam just did. The numbers, guys. Sam. When I was a kid in college, 97-ish, I subscribed to a weekly publication. I want to say Gold Sheet. Yeah, the Gold Sheet. They gave you the numbers for all the games in two different forms, Don Best and Jim Feist.
Well, the great Bruce Marshall does the Gold Sheet, right? Love Bruce.
By NWBO. He says Sorala looking more like Teen Wolf in that pick. Don't worry, Joe. There's a good one coming. I wouldn't have said it, just that one. Jason H11, are we sure that Kelly doesn't know the name of the sushi place? Are we sure that Gilly injured his Achilles? Are we sure the Hawks aren't pronounced Hawks? Are we sure that Todd Wishnev's mom's attic is in fact made of cork? Norman Vegas, here's my question on tipping. If you pay for dinner with a credit card, do you add the tip to the credit card bill or tip in cash? I always bring cash for tipping. They say that they prefer the cash. Do I do that every time? No, I put it on the credit card sometimes too, if I'm being honest. Edward Perez, Todd Wishnelf, I'll never get it out of my head.
That was good. That was good.
Real Nicks, I'm 100% positive I'm heterosexual, but I am twice divorced, so apparently I have no luck with ladies, and that Tinder photo of Joe has me wondering.
It's a good-looking dude. We should all be able to admit it. That's a good-looking dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, Taylor Fritz has got a pretty good-looking girlfriend, and Joe Cirola might be putting him to shame in this one. Whoa, look at that right there.
Real Nicks just laying it out there.
Yeah. Should being real about it on a Friday.
And Jeff G, give me the hook. He says, I need extra effort from y'all today due to the blizzard of 2025. We're snowed in down here south of Atlanta. Yeah, DC. Whoa. DC got crushed the other day. And now, like, Nashville and Atlanta are getting crushed. Whereas like, the people up north who are used to the nor'easters, nothing happened to them.
It's cold. It's cold here, too.
It's almost as if, Kelly, I'm just going to throw this out there. It's almost as if the climate, how can I put this, is changing.
Almost.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from the heartland. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete Futak. F-I-U-T-A-K. He is the emperor of collegefootballnews.com. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm the emperor of nothing. I shoveled and I got all the ice off the driveway yesterday. And today we have in Chicago a nice dusting of snow to give it all back. So just keeps everything humble around here.
How did you feel about Notre Dame and Penn State last night? And let me say it a little more sort of concisely. If you're a Penn State fan or a Penn State backer, should you be just bent out of shape by this?
They were dead even teams. And you're upset, of course, if you're a Penn State fan. But at the end of the day, you know, look, it was a bad pass by Drew Aller. They had their chances. I mean, this whole stuff, oh, James Franklin can't win the big one and all that kind of stuff. Okay, yeah. But what are you going to do, fire him? I mean, he came really, really close to getting you guys to a national championship. They got to the college football playoff semifinals, and they played a great game. Notre Dame is just a strange team to try to figure out. They shouldn't be this good. They are so depleted on their lines, and they're starting 22. Their next man up thing is a real thing because they have no depth at this point. This is the ultimate find a way team, and once again, they found a way, and now they're going to go to the national championship game and lose to whoever wins tonight.
Drew Aller, an NFL quarterback?
I guess technically, yes. He's not going to be anything great, but the tools are all there. I don't think he goes out this year, even though this is not a good year for quarterbacks in a year when a lot of teams desperately need quarterbacks. So he's going to stay around Penn State. But crazy enough, if he were to come out, he might be like the fourth quarterback off the board just because of sheer skills.
NFL teams are supposedly high on him. I heard Mel Kiper yesterday just talking about, you know, last year's crop versus this year's crop, because it was couched in the, you know, what should the Vikings do with Sam Darnold vis-a-vis J.J. McCarthy? And he was like, just to let you know what my rankings are, he goes, J.J. McCarthy is better than all of these guys, all of them.
You agree? I don't I don't know about that. I think Shadur is actually that good, but I'm not. I was never a JJ McCarthy fan. I'm definitely not a Sam Darnold fan. But yeah, this is McCarthy's good. Sorry, Shadur is good. Cam Ward's good. They're not Caleb Williams. They're not Jaden Daniels. They're not Drake May or Bo Nix. So this year is not a great year. But again, you've got all these starving teams for quarterbacks. Go get them through free agent. Hope you can sand Darnold up and get a little luck.
Yeah. I mean, we understand why teams go quarterback crazy on the draft. You're nothing without a quarterback in this league.
Just it doesn't work. If you look at the history of quarterbacks in the first round, it is brutal. It is dumb luck. Yeah. It doesn't work. And it's a lot of time and wasted and invested. It's kind of like the transfer portal in college football. Let someone else develop your quarterback at this point. You're better off.
Well, no, I mean, both things are true, right? You're right that the strike percentage is very low, but every team wants to hit that home run, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's so much luck involved in this. It just is a wasteland of first-round quarterback, especially at the number one overall slot. Who are the best quarterbacks going right now? Josh Allen wasn't a number one. Patrick Mahomes, I believe, was 10th. Jalen Hurts was a second rounder. Lamar Jackson was late first round. So they're out there. You just have to be able to find the guy and actually believe in it and commit to the player.
And for everyone that we're right about, as fans, we're also wrong, right? So I was like, I was adamant Washington needs to please be Jaden Daniels. Please be Jaden Daniels. Was right about that. But I was among the crowd of people who are like, what are the Broncos doing drafting Bo Nix there? Do they know what they're doing? So we're all that way. Okay. Tonight, Ohio State and Texas. I've been talking about this a couple times here on the show. And again, to me, it's the amazing Ohio State Buckeyes that we have seen here these last 2 weeks with Will Howard. I have a Will Howard stat, which is, again, this is provided by Colin Wilson over at Action Network. He says, Will Howard has not recorded one single turnover-worthy play through 8 quarters of playoffs here so far with 5 big-time throws. That's in our mind's eye, but it's six points here, Pete, which would not have been the case, obviously, 2 weeks ago, right after that Michigan game. This wouldn't even been close to this number. So that's the handicapping conundrum. What do you got here?
Oh, there's none. If Ohio State, again, we always talk about, when I talk about teams with talent and Power 5 snob and all this stuff, Ohio State's the best team in college football. It's been the best team in college football all season, just never played like it. Then they flipped the switch. It's almost like they got the Michigan thing out of the way. Okay, the worst thing in the world happened to us. All right, now let's go play football. They are so much more freaking talented than everybody else. They beat Tennessee. Tennessee's good. Tennessee's got NFL dudes on the lines, and they just beat them. Oregon, they ripped through them like a light scrimmage. If they play their best game, the six is nothing. Ohio State should beat Texas easily. Texas is not that good. They've got guys. They've got NFL dudes on the offensive line. That is all 5 starters on the O-line are going to play in the NFL. They only averaged, I think, 1.1 yard per carry against Arizona State and in the SEC championship against Georgia. They've got NFL dudes in the secondary. They can run with Ohio State. But if Ohio State plays its best game, it wins by 6. And then whatever you're getting, if Ohio State gets this, take Ohio State versus Notre Dame. At some point, this Notre Dame war of attrition thing with talent's going to run out. I think Notre Dame has a shot against Texas if Texas pulls this off tonight. And they could. Again, they've got guys. Quinn Ewers is great. But if Ohio State plays its B game, it wins by 6.
Yeah, you have said all year, the snob that you are, the self-proclaimed snob that you are, and it's not just me calling Pete names, that Ohio State and Georgia were the best teams, I believe you said, all year long. And then Georgia obviously had things happen at quarterback, among other things. What if Texas shows up in Michigan uniforms? Then what's the handicap?
That's the running joke. Yes, yeah. Do that and throw something in. and throw a little adversity their way. Like, what happens if Ohio State does not get out to a hot start? And they might not. I mean, Quinn Ewers is going to throw well. Quinn Ewers is going to hit 65% of his passes. They're going to march up and down the field a couple times and score. He's going to throw a key interception. You know what Quinn Ewers is going to do. But again, Ohio State, talent-wise, I mean, again, what's the difference between an Ohio State and everyone else? Chip freaking Kelly is their offensive coordinator. They just have more resources, better talent. That is an NFL team out there. If Ohio State plays its okay game, it should win by 6 without a problem.
I'll say it again. Quinn Ewers against Cover 1 is good, though. High 57% success rate, 23% explosive play rate, and Ohio State plays a lot of Cover 1. So, again, there is a case to be made. We'll see what happens. Pete Futak, appreciate it, man. Thank you, brother.
There you go.
Peter Futak at Pete Futak, FIUTAK on Twitter, collegefootballnews.com. How about some Aussie Open quarters next?